throw your motherfucking Cincinnati hats in the sky.
Good morning, good afternoon, or good evening, whenever you're listening, everyone, and welcome into the chatter. It's Chuck, it's Houdini, back from a quick hiatus, and I'm doing something I don't really do on the chatter. I'm giving a passenger's choice today. I'm in the driver's seat, and usually I lead off the show with the topic of my choice, but Houdini today, in the two chair, he gets to pick what we start off with. All right, Houdini, take your pick. Jason Kelce's Super Bowl ring currently sitting in a rumpke dump. Jonte Porter banned for life from the NBA. The NBA playoffs. John Brannon, the painter, or our douchebag of the week? What do you want to start with? Welcome to the show.
Oh, God. I don't hate those topics at all. Let's start with the Kelce brothers.
So, for those of you that don't know, Jason and Travis Kelce played at the University of Cincinnati, but at the time weren't really heralded. Especially Jason. Travis had some success at the University of Cincinnati, but not to the point of him being a surefire NFL Hall of Famer like he is right now. But when you got guys that have combined for four Super Bowls and consistently rep your university on the number one podcast in America, which is their podcast, New Heights, you bring them back to town. It's the first time the two have been back to Cincy since they quote unquote graduated, even though they got their diploma at this event. But since they left UC, it's the first time they've been back. They were going to have the event at Nippert Stadium, the football stadium on the campus of the University of Cincinnati. Rain forced it to go inside. It ended up being a packed, sold out, standing room only Fifth Third Arena, and some shenanigans went on. Did you see it the next day? Were you tuning in live? Have you seen the podcast yet? Your overall reactions from that event before we get into the Super Bowl ring?
Well, you know, as a man with a podcast, I refuse to listen to anything other than the Chatter or Chatterbox Bearcats. You know that. I haven't listened to like any of their podcasts. But if you're on social media at all, you saw a shitload of content. Like while it was happening, it was like Joe Burrow comes out. They had a ton of guests. They were getting in what we're about to get into, jumping into massive tubs of three ways with chili everywhere. I mean, it looked like a ton of fun, and all the publicity for UC is huge. So, and I did see the Kelce brothers and Joe Burrow at Woody's liquor pitchers. We remember those $5 liquor pitchers with inflation. They're probably like $9 now, but what a sight to see. I mean, those three at Woody's.
Wow. I wonder what Burrow got on that punching bag in the back. You think he hit 850? You know what I'm talking about.
Oh, yeah. I'm wondering if that thing's still in service is my question. Me and the boys put a fucking ass whooping on that thing back in the day. I can only imagine.
There was nothing worse than about half a pitcher, you know, a few cold ones after. You'd go back there and try to take a big swing at it and get 210, you know, as you just hit it with your right pinky. Guys, can't see straight.
No, the chicks would be looking over like, yeah. You're like, there's something screwed up with the machine. It's only marked 140. There's no way. I swear to God, I'm stronger. They were there playing darts. They were there drinking. I mean, I'm sure Burrow had like, you know, still water or whatever, but it's still a fun thing for the town.
Yeah, we don't want Burrow drinking all that sugar. We know that for a fact. But they had this event, and they had the Lumbaby Games, which is one of the segments they do on the podcast, just a bunch of interactive games. One of the games that they had was Jason Kelce decided to throw his ring in a pool and cover it with Skyline Chili. So they filled up the entire pool with Skyline Chili, and two dudes went in there and ended up wrestling, trying to find the ring. No one found the ring. Jason Kelce never found the ring. They emptied the pool. They still can't find the ring. We're a week later, and his Super Bowl ring is literally missing, which is the most Jason Kelce thing of all time. Him just being like, well, my Super Bowl ring's in a rumpke dump somewhere. Nothing I can do about it.
How much does a Super Bowl ring go for? Are we sure one of these college students didn't get his, like, you know, freshman year paid for by slipping that into his whatever swim trunks, acting like he shit himself covered in chili? I mean, how much did one of those things go for? I'm looking it up now.
Over-under game. I'm going to guess we already canceled that, but I'm going to guess 35, 50K.
Well, I'm seeing quite a range, and God knows if any of these are legit. One of them is the 2019 Kansas City Chiefs. I'm seeing for $40,000, but then I see a Nick Foles Super Bowl ring for $550. I don't know what I don't even know if Nick Foles has fallen on hard times and he's personally selling his Super Bowl ring. I highly doubt it. They got a Bruce Arians one going for 580. I have no idea.
580 bucks?
Yeah, 580. Let's buy it now.
$580 or a Bruce Arians Super Bowl ring. That's got to be some fake collectible. Come on now, Houdini.
100%. So I'm going to guess the $40,000. I love how it says used as well. Yeah, no shit. Somebody wore it. Whoever this was, probably Juju Smith or something. 2019 Kansas City Chiefs for $40,000. So let's just say conservatively that thing's worth like $20,000+, right?
Yeah. And he went out the night before at Woody's, and that's why he lost it. He would never have made that decision if he wasn't, you know, banged up from the night before. Because here's the deal. And I'm not a big drinker anymore. You know this, Houdini. I like to hibernate. Unless I go to downtown Chicago and end up at the Redheaded Piano Bar until about 5 a.m. I'm on a heater, Houdini. I've been closing down the place. I'm young again. Forget the fact that it's my Reggie Miller year and I'm 31. I'm still spry. Aside from that, everyone knows the times where shots are involved. And I am anti-shots at this day and age. Nothing good happens after shots. But you have some shots, the next day you wake up, you look at yourself in the mirror, and you just decide, I'm not a real human being today. None of my consequences matter. Let's go. Let's do it. You know the feeling.
Yeah, let's lose a $30,000 ring today. Fuck it. Who cares? You got to wonder, once he announced that this was missing, were there was probably people funneling through the guys at the Rumpke Dump, funneling through dirty diapers because it's covered in chili. You don't know the amount of shit some of these guys probably went through trying to find this damn ring. I mean, these are the consequences of your actions, Jason.
It's like the scene from Willy Wonka. Yeah, it's like the scene from Willy Wonka when Veruca Salt's dad sends all the people down on the line. They're all pulling out, trying to pull out the golden ticket for the chocolate bars. And finally, someone's like, I got it. That's what a crew right now is going through at the Rumpke Dump. But that brings up a little sidebar. Metal detectors. Have you gotten to the stage in life? And I think it happens more in your 70s after your second divorce, but the stage in life where you bring the metal detector everywhere. Like, what are those people trying to find?
Have I gotten there? No, not yet. I would love that. Right when you turn 30, it's like, it's shocking. It sneaks up on you, man. You buy your first metal detector at 29. You think you'll never use it. By 31, man, You're at Hilton Head Island. You're at the beaches down in Destin. You're looking for treasure, man. I think it's guys that they're hoping to find something out there. They're 70. They realize, God damn it. Like, I didn't do what I wanted to do. Maybe I'll start hunting for treasure on the beach. I don't know. I haven't gotten there yet. I could see myself at one point getting into this. I think I got to give myself like 40 years, but for now we have not dusted off the old metal detector.
The character arc in National Treasure, that just makes me laugh. Nicolas Cage is like, Dad, let's go after the treasure. And the dad, just 30 years removed from not being able to find the treasure. You're an idiot, Nicolas. You can't find it. It doesn't exist. Same thing in the Goonies, right? But in this case, Jason Kelce does not have a ring. And those folks at the Rumpke Dump hopefully found the ring and are selling that thing between $585 and $40,000. Second topic, let's go with Jontay Porter, banned from the NBA for life for gambling on NBA games. We've never seen anything like it. This is a real life Paul Crewe from The Longest Yard, shaving points potentially.
So we actually do know some of the details. He told like a friend of his to bet the unders on all of his props. Allegedly, it looks like the guy parlayed like three of his unders and put $80,000 on it to win $1 million. So yeah, well, that's a red flag. Nobody has ever placed a prop bet on Jontay Porter in the history of DraftKings or FanDuel. And now we have an $80,000 wager to win $1 million. And then Jontay Porter miraculously subbed himself out for like an eye injury within like 3 minutes. So all his unders hit. And then they froze that and immediately started an investigation. Then they found out that Porter was on somebody else's account and he bet like he won a total of $20,000. This is all he won in all of his bets that he placed. And one of them was he placed multiple parlay bets. This just shows you parlay bets don't win. He lost all of his parlay bets. He did three of them with like multi-game parlays. One of them included the Toronto Raptors to lose. Jontay Porter plays for the Toronto Raptors, for those who don't know. the audacity for Jonte Porter to think that he had enough influence on a game that he could single-handedly lose for the Raptors. It's like, dude, you're on a two-way contract. You were playing for like the fucking Minnesota Maple Leafs or whatever, like 3 weeks ago. And he lost that bet. So this guy, what an all-time idiot. I mean, 20 grand to never play in the league again. His brother's freaking Michael Porter Jr. What was he thinking? Did he think nobody was going to look into this? I mean, seriously.
He wasn't thinking. At the end of the day, what you got to realize, NBA players that are fans of the chatter, and we've had an NBA player on, Miles McBride, Miles Deuce McBride. So we are plugged into the NBA scene a little bit. But what you got to realize, folks, is that the red flags are raised easily. It doesn't take that much money to raise red flags. They're vetting anything over, what would you say? Anything over 25K, they're probably vetting a little bit at these sports books. I mean, for God's sakes, they got an eye in the sky that's watching people, you know, potentially counting cards. You've seen it in the movies. That's real.
Yeah, I would say it's a red flag if any wager's over $100 on any Jonte Porter prop. I think that's a red flag in itself. You're like, what the fuck does this guy know? Why is he betting on Jonte Porter for anything? So, yeah, this is just an all-time idiotic move. And I would have respected it if he took the overs. Like, Jonte Porter gets in and fires off like 7 threes
like
within 2 minutes.
Yeah.
Yeah, like if he took his own personal over, the Raptors to win, maybe he doesn't get a lifetime ban, but... And of course, Adam Silver's like, we got to set an example. Nobody knows who the fuck Jonte Porter is. We're just a lifetime ban him. Like, we got to set, if this was some other player, I mean, we saw it with Otani. It's hard for me to believe Otani didn't have something. He didn't know what was going on to some degree. And they didn't do shit. They just threw that other guy, the interpreter, in jail for like whatever, for life. But Otani is still hitting dingers for the Dodgers. So it's, I think it was a little bit to do with Jonte Porter's a nobody, and he's like, what's the worst that can happen? He might have been banned already just from not being good enough. Let's just ban him officially.
It's what's the meme? Like, congrats, buddy. Time to learn Turkish.
China. You know this. Time to learn Chinese, buddy. Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, I'm assuming he'll be playing somewhere overseas, but yeah, it looks like, unfortunately for all the diehard Jonte Porter fans, or hopefully you guys can get refunds for those jerseys. If anybody bought them, I'm sure there's plenty of them out there. But yeah, it looks like his time in the NBA is no longer.
He'll be hitting the sports book offshore. It's okay. You know, the underground sports books. John Brannan, the painter, he got a cup of coffee at the University of Cincinnati. He was there during the COVID era for a couple of seasons, was not good whatsoever. Although his first year probably would have taken the Bearcats to the tournament had COVID-19 not shut down the entire thing. But John Brannan no longer is coaching right now. Last we saw of him, he was an analyst for the University of Dayton, I believe. May still be there. Who knows? But he has a side hustle right now. John Brannan went from being all in to basketball to a painting company. As he came out with a video that explains, he is now the owner of one of the fastest growing painting franchises in America. Is it satire or is this dead serious? And can we get him as a sponsor of the show, even though we talk shit about him all the time?
I was just about to say that. I would love to get that one painter as the premier sponsor of this show. It would work well. And no, I think it's legit. I think he obviously, and people forget, he did share a conference title his first year for UC. They tied Houston, which is hilarious to think about. But struggled there, then was kind of bouncing around, was like a Dayton analyst, like you said. And then I think he put a hole in the wall or something in his kitchen, and he patched it, and he's like, you know what? Maybe we'll do a shade of blue here. He's like, let's do a fucking shade of blue. And then his wife came home and he's painting the whole fucking house. He's outside, he's up on the walls, he's painting the bricks a different color. And he's like, just found a passion. And I respect that. He found a passion for painting. No one thought John Brannan's career arc after he was very good at NKU would be like 5 years later. He's now the painting guy. I kind of respect it. His marketing is a little, it's interesting. The videos are interesting. I'll say this. And I do love the kind of the cop out of the fastest growing XYZ company when you first start. Cause technically if you get two jobs, you're growing at like 1,000% rate. It was kind of like when we started the podcast, we were the fastest growing podcast.
We were
country.
We were above Ben Talk, top 175 in America. Haven't been back since.
right behind Shaq. People forget we were a slot behind Shaq.
We were in front of Stephen A. Smith. The chatter was in front of Stephen A. Smith not that long ago. How was that possible? We had a massive spike at the beginning. We had Gustavo listening from Colombia.
We did. We fucked up because we should have absolutely attacked the market because the algorithm, when you get like a certain amount of downloads and reviews within the first like 2 weeks, you can get up there. I don't know if it's even possible to get in there now. I mean, it's like you said, it's like
Ellen DeGeneres. We got to just say outlandish shit. We just got to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We got to cancel ourselves. Yeah. That'll get us to the top.
Yeah. Well, speaking of canceling themselves, not quite yet. But our douchebag of the week, it's time for the douchebag of the week. That would be Greg Doyle from the Indy Star. Just take a listen what he said to Caitlin Clark after, first of all, he gave her the heart symbol that she gives to her family after the game and then responded to her comment with this little interaction.
You like that?
I like that you're here. I like that you're here.
I do that at my family after every game, so.
Okay, well, let's start doing it to me, and we'll be able to get along just fine.
I'm speechless how a grown man with media credentials could think that was a wise thing to do in the press conference when all eyes are on this presser. Did he think it was a joke? It's Caitlin Clark. Like, that's the biggest story in America right there, and he's going to make himself the center of attention with that shit?
What's this dude's name? Greg Doyle?
Greg with two G's, a Greg with two G's.
Perfect name for this story. And from all accounts, apparently he's like the definition of a big J journalist. He takes it. He's the one that writes articles on other people's questions and how like unprofessional it was. So this is way funnier that this guy did this. It felt like it was like watching a guy at the bar try to pick up a chick and everybody's uncomfortable. You're just like, what, dude? Like, that was the line you gave? Like, come on. And he's doing it on a national TV and a presser. He's got to work on, as the kids say, his riz. His riz is struggling. That was an atrocious performance. I mean, I don't think the guy realized that it was going to be this much of backlash. People are like claiming it was like sexual assault. They're like, that is bullshit. He's attacking me. It's like, I mean, the guy's just a weirdo. He's just a weirdo. It's a fact.
He's our douchebag of the week. That's
he's an absolute douchebag, and he knows it. He wrote the best is he wrote like a follow-up article. He's like, I was part of it. He's like, with his little link to click, I was part of the problem this week. I will do better. It's like, all right, weirdo. Just say, listen, I'm a fucking weirdo. I got caught red-handed. And Caitlin Clark, he's going to have to be doing these pressers with Caitlin Clark for the foreseeable future. I mean, he's writing Indy. So that'll be really awkward the next time he interviews her, because I'm sure it's going to happen in like what, a month when the season starts, whenever that is.
In a press conference, you have one job, just ask a question. And he didn't even do that. Instead, he was bantering back and forth with Caitlin Clark. And you're right. It turned out to be really creepy. So for that, Greg Doyle, you are our douchebag of the week.
What's the worst question you've asked in a presser? Do you have one that comes to mind where you're like, right after you finish, you're like, fuck, that's a tough one.
There was someone, not me, but one of the interns that had our LAX18 credentials, NBC in Lexington, and he was an intern and he came with us. And the fact that he was asking a question is ridiculous. Like, an intern, why the hell are you asking a question? The fact that he was asking Arkansas head coach Mike Anderson a question is even more ridiculous. Like, dude, we don't need this sound for Mike. We're not even rolling on it. Why are you in the front row of a press conference as an intern at a Lexington station asking Mike Anderson a question? And he asked him if he was like upset with the outcome of the game. And the dude's like, are you serious? We lost. We went on the road and we lost. Is this guy, who are you? Who are you with? And I'm sitting in the back like, oh my God, he's with us. So that one was pretty bad. For myself, I asked, and he's my dude, A.W. Hamilton, head coach of EKU. I asked him, it was the most backlash I ever got on a question. I asked him, because they ran like a full court press for 40 minutes every single game. I said, Kentucky's the number one transition team in the country, coach. You're going to maybe switch things up and for once take off the full court press and end the best 40 minutes in sports? And he was like, is that a serious question? Come on now. I mean, he was kind of joking with me, but he like shook his head and walked off the state. And I was like, that wasn't that bad of a question. I mean, I guess that's my answer. Like, Hell no. We don't change our style for shit. Or it was, why would I tell you that? It was one of the two.
Yeah. I mean, basically, if you ask like a legitimate good question, basically questioning the coach's strategy after they just got the, you know, the doors blown off them, they always get pissed. It's like, that's a legitimate question. It's like, did you ever think about doubling, you know, what's number 22? Because he had 46 points and you guys literally couldn't stop him. He's like, are you telling me how to do my job while you're sitting there with your microphone? You work at WXK in fucking Lexington. You're going to tell me, a guy that's been in playing basketball and coaching basketball for the last 40 years? It's like, yeah, I kind of am. I'm going to ask you why the hell you're doing what you're doing. And that kind of makes me miss Coach K, because he was the king of just belittling every question that was asked, even if they were legitimate.
Boeheim.
Coach K and Boeheim.
Boeheim went off on all the big J's at Syracuse. All the big J's. I mean, nonstop. He was on my Mount Rushmore of most hated sports figures. The grandpa. I said I'd punch him in the face. I would not punch him. He's an old man. I said he has one of the most punchable faces in sports. Edit that, Teffer.
Yeah, we'll get Teffer to edit that. I mean, Coach K was notorious for going at the student writers. Like the 20-year-old like sophomore that's just trying to get into the industry. And he's like, hey, buddy, you forgot your clown makeup. That's the dumbest question I've heard in my 60
years. Dude, you're literally talking about Boeheim. That's what I just said about Boeheim. K didn't do that. K had some respect. He would more so say, like, son, you got a lot to learn. Keep trying hard, but that was a bad question. Whereas Boeheim would be like, where the hell did they pick you up from? You're supposed to be a journalist at our Newhouse school. You should probably go up to Athens and be doing Gridiron Glory.
No. I'm telling you. Look, I mean, this is two peas in a pod right here. Both of them did similar shit. I'm telling you, Coach K had a first thing I Googled, Coach K calls Duke student reporter and apologizes after laying into him after a presser. This happens, man. This is hilarious.
No, it's hard though. Here's the thing about TV, radio, podcasting, whatever it may be. Once you stop giving a shit, you get better at it. I mean, anyone that's seen my progression over the last few years in terms of being able to go on a mic and just rip through it, it's because I don't care anymore. I'll just say whatever the hell I damn please. Whereas back in the day, you're so paranoid because you think you have to stay on the beaten path and you need to go to X, Y, Z, and you have to say this and you have to say that. And you have to, if you screw up, you're no longer good, because no one that's a professional flubs their words, even though everyone does. At the end of the day, you just let it rip. That's what makes good entertainment. You just let it rip. It's the same in questions. You just go out there and you just ask questions. But instead, these young journalists, they think about it. They write them down. They practice it in front of the mirror. And then they sit up in front of them and they just blurt something out that's exactly what they didn't practice. And it's the dumbest thing ever, because it is scary. They put the mic in your hand for the first time. You'll experience it for Chatterbox Bearcats. They'll put the mic in your hand at the Big 12 tournament and you'll say, hey, Coach Miller, this is Houdini with Chatterbox Sports, and you'll freeze. You'll panic. Everyone's done it.
I will. This is Houdini from Chatterbox Bearcats. Coach Wes Miller, how about that fucking game, huh? He's just like, what? I'm like, yeah, just how fuck about that big? That was a big game, huh? They're like,
how
right,
big
buddy.
Fucking game? Wow. It's like, you say your name is Houdini? Yeah.
Yeah, well, there you go.
Nothing magical at that question. All right, on to the NBA playoffs, Houdini. Remember how I said on the show that was about 4 months ago that I love the NBA and can't wait to get started? We had Frank Michael Smith on to break down the season. Well, seasons have come and gone. I've been a busy man slinging deals left and right, and I can honestly tell you I watched about 10 minutes total of basketball this season in the association. You watched quite a bit. What are the big storylines of the playoffs?
Well, we got this is going to be good matchups across the board. That's why, like, back when the Warriors had like Kevin Durant, or even before that, when it was just who's going to beat the Warriors, nobody is, right? It was kind of a foregone conclusion. This year, it's pretty damn open. The West is loaded. I mean, you got the Lakers and Nuggets matching up in the first round. I mean, obviously the Nuggets are going to be the heavy favorites, but I don't know if you want to be, you know, the perennial favorites and have to play LeBron and Anthony Davis and those guys in the first round. And then you got Giannis. He's hurt. So, I mean, shit, they could lose in the first round. And then, yeah, you got your Celtics, Knicks. There's a lot of good teams this year. Thunder, the one seed, people are claiming they might go down to an eight. We'll see what happens. But there's quite a few storylines going on. But I'm interested because these games, it's ridiculous. It's basically a full NBA regular season that starts now. There's a game every goddamn night, and they play like 70 more games.
Till June, yeah.
Yeah, it's absurd. So there's going to be basketball. There's going to be plenty to watch. Even if you don't want to, you're going to run into accidentally watching a couple of these games. I would love if Steph Curry randomly went to the Spurs. I think that would make the Spurs automatically very good. Him and Wemby, the old guy coming in with the, you know, the unicorn. That's a storyline I want. Let's do that.
That'd be good for our guy, Nate Ryan, that we had on the chatter for the bracket show.
He's the
CBS anchor in San Antonio. He'd be loving that. Are you on the train with the WWE, specifically WrestleMania? I want your takes. You're a West Side guy in Cincinnati. Westsiders love WWE. Is that a stereotype or is that real?
It's somewhat of a stereotype. It's somewhat real. I do not follow the WWE too much. I think these guys are insanely talented. I mean, some of the old school clips that you'll see with Vince McMahon, they would never be allowed on TV now, are fucking insane. And the acting is incredible. It's funny. It seems like these guys never retire. Like, they're still doing shit with The Rock. They're still having The Undertaker, who's like 76 years old, come out. And everyone's going absolutely ballistic. It's a hell of a show. So I'll say that. I've never been to one. Have you actually gone to a WWE event?
I never have, but I grew up with it. For whatever reason, we didn't have cable growing up. So it's kind of funny that I got into TV as my career path for a while, considering I wasn't able to watch any of it growing up. But it was essentially whatever they were showing on Saturday nights on ABC I was watching. Local TV, some PBS. We got a little Arthur. We got a little Dragon Tales. Come on, Dragon Tales, Dragon Tales. We all love the Dragon Tales. But for whatever reason, there was a lot of WWE on in my house. I don't know what channel it was coming through. Maybe Fox had a package back then. So I grew up watching tons of WWE, my brother and I. The Rock was getting booed off the stage WrestleMania the other week. He was getting booed off the stage. Got a This Is Awkward during one of his skits that was just not coming through. They're running around in diapers, tackling each other. And then the undercard, man. I didn't know who either of these two people were. And their acting was just terrible. They're punching and they're groaning and they're grunting. I will say, there are moments where even if they're not hurting the other person, it's obvious to tell, it still looks painful. Like they're jumping off the top and landing on their ass. It looks painful, man. They got to be bruised from that.
Oh, from every like interview you see, like these guys actually get fucked up. I mean, they're not getting hit with steel chairs at 100 miles an hour like they try to portray, but they're getting drilled. And I don't know. Honestly, the wildest ones are like the non-WWE events that they do at like a local fucking gym. And it's like, it's the same concept, but it's like the minor leagues.
I see them on the streets.
Guys are getting absolutely annihilated. Like I saw one where this dude, he was sitting in the corner. Let me try to paint a picture for you. Sitting in the corner, like against the pad or whatever. And this chick, she probably was like 280 pounds. And this other guy had her in a slingshot position. And the other guy's kind of dazed, sitting in the corner. And he literally revs her back and launches her ass into this guy's head. And he just, and I swear to God, he had to have been concussed, if not unconscious in real life. I mean, that guy's a true warrior.
Why were you there?
I saw it on... You know, every now and again, after a couple cocktails, I'll head down to the old WWE minor league system.
Well, they have them in like downtown cities sometimes. They'll have them in like, you know, Hyde Park Square.
Yeah, there's like Fountain Square. We're going to have a couple drunk guys just fucking launch patio chairs at each other. If you guys want to watch, it's $8. It's like, all right, why not? No, I saw it online. But yeah, these guys are athletes. You got to give them that. And the thing is, they've had a couple guys go into UFC, like CM Punk, and just get absolutely annihilated. Like, come on. You got to realize it isn't real. They're going to lose to real fighters, but these guys are still studs.
It just made me think when I was watching it the other day, first time in legit 20 years since I was just a young child without cable, watching WWE as a super fan, wearing my Stone Cold shirt when I was like 7 years old. It was legit a hiatus from 7 years old to 31. And I sat down and watched it for like 20 minutes and I was hooked. I was like, this is so stupid, but I can't stop watching. And I had something to do.
Yeah, it feels a little bit like SNL, where back in the day you had, you know, your Chris Farley's, your Jim Carrey's and all that around there. And back in the day with WWE, you had Stone Cold Steve Austin, like Triple H, those guys. That was the true heyday. I mean, like Stone Cold Austin just annihilating beers over top of his head. That was when America was really, that was a true patriotic moment every time he did that in the ring. I don't know if it has that same energy. I'm sure if I brought this up to like a WWE super fan, they'd put me in a suplex right now. Yeah. But that's my initial thoughts. They would. I mean, Maybe I got to get back into it.
It's
right.
Still rowdy. Yeah. Just fired up every once in a while. Any last words, Houdini?
I got nothing, man. I got nothing. Have a great weekend. If you're listening to this Friday, the nice thing is you can listen to this on Monday. It's all the same shit. It's an evergreen episode. Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, it's just a matter of whether Jontay Porter was banned today or whether he was banned about 4 weeks ago. Houdini, win your bets this weekend on the NBA. See you, buddy.
Later.